I'm going to read tonight from the first chapter of Acts
and the first chapter of Ezekiel. First, to begin with, the first chapter of the book of Acts.
First verse. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. May God bless that portion of the reading of the Word. A couple of Sundays ago, I read from the 3rd chapter of Joshua, and in the 5th verse it said, as Joshua was speaking to them, he said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Tonight in the 5th verse that I've read, he says, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Let me leave this with you tonight. If we will do our part, God will do his. In every circumstance. Although I'm not going to be preaching from those verses tonight, let me encourage you to stay close to God. Expect something good from God's hand, something wonderful, something special. Any day, any time, believe God to minister. Jesus gave us a reason. There's a reason for Jesus leaving the splendors of heaven and coming to this earth. We find that the Bible says that he came to seek and to save the lost. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he died without the gate, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. And the reason he gave for returning to the Father is in the 16th chapter of John, that he might send the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I believe that Jesus came to save, to sanctify, and to baptize in the Holy Ghost. He hasn't changed. Though at times I've been asked the meaning of the term full gospel on our sign. So I'd like to just share this with you tonight. Those three verses I mentioned give the answer. Those three that I have just mentioned from Luke and Hebrews and from John, they give the answer to the reason. Saved that we might be saved from sin, that we might be sanctified and holy, die out to self and alive unto God, and that we might be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the power of God in our lives to witness with boldness. Let me leave this with you tonight, everyone. God did not save us just that we might enjoy salvation. He's blessed us that we might be a blessing to others. Who's going to be a blessing if it's not the saints? Help us, God. I pray along these lines. It's God's way of preparing us for service. As I've just read, we sing the chorus, I am blessed, and I'm going to stop right there. We are. We are a blessed people. And I thank God for all that he has done and is doing, but listen, if you will, we are really blessed that we might be a blessing to someone else. We were eating today, and a young lady came to the table where we were, and said how good it was to see us. I didn't know who she was. I asked her who she was, and she told me that she is the daughter of my second cousin. I said, how did you recognize her? She said, by your wife. But I thought, she said something else with her. She said, every time we had a family reunion, our families got together, that's where I remember you from. And said that we were ready to eat. We've been there. It's 4 o'clock. We're ready to eat. And somebody always says, wait for Brother Jones to come to pray. So I asked her, didn't they have somebody else that knew how to pray?
But really, Daddy was there, and Daddy wanted all the family there, and it wasn't late. We would just go from here, most of the time, right here to Sandy Bottom. And so we were not very late at all, but at 12 o'clock, they were ready to meet, and she said, I remember we were waiting for you to come and pray. God, help us to pray. Help us to be all that you'd have us to be in this life. In the books of Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, we find that there was destruction of Judea and of Jerusalem, and the armies of Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon had come and overrun the cities and taken the people into captivity in the land of Babylon. And history reveals that while they were there, persecution and war and hardship and all that went along with it, most of the time when you read about their lives, they either do one or two things. And I thought that's the way it always seems to be, that when you're going through a hard place, there's one or two things as a believer. Either you throw up your hands in despair, or you get close to God. You cry out to God. You want God to be close by. You want God to meet a need. And I thought about the children of Israel in bondage, that we find them, they turn to God, they call on the Lord. And I was preparing the sermon, I thought, 23 years ago, last Thursday, January the 16th, 1991, the Persian War, the War of Persian War began. I remember that date specifically. Not because I am a historian, but because our granddaughter was born that day. And so I tied the two together. And I thought 23 years ago, and I read an article, and it stuck with me, and so I want to repeat it to you tonight. After that war started, and our men and women were sent to battle, one chaplain said, I'm having 10 services every Sunday. There are so many GIs that have never faced battle, never been to war, and they've got fear in their hearts. They love the country, but they've got fear and said, I have 10 services on Sunday to try to minister to those that are getting ready to go to the battlefield, knowing that as they're coming, they need something from God. I trust that many of those got saved. Out of our church, we gave a lot of Bibles to be handed out to those that were going to the battlefield. There was a similar way, a similar circumstance with Ezekiel in today's reading. He was a young man, 40 years of age, and he's now in a foreign land, and he has a vision, the Bible says. He's one of those that's been captured, and he's a prisoner to the Babylonians. And in the first chapter of Ezekiel, and I want you to turn there if you haven't already got it. I'm going to read the first verse. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. I want to start right there. While Ezekiel was in captivity, as a young man, 30 years of age, he has an outstanding vision of the Almighty. He has a vision of the glory world. And it stood out in such a detail. This is what he said. It was on July the 5th in the year 595 B.C. I know what had happened while he was there as captives in the land. And we were by the river Chebar, the Chebar River. And I kept on reading and I saw, he said, I saw four things in the vision that God revealed unto me. And God was preparing him for service. Listen to what I'm telling you tonight. God was preparing him for a ministry. I believe God's preparing us. Amen. Not just the preacher. Every one of us. Preparing us to be used of God in the last days and in the last hours. And the Bible says he saw four things in the vision that was revealed to him. God preparing him for service. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if these same four things would take place in our lives tonight? Number one, in the first verse he said, the heavens were opened. I've never looked into heaven. But don't you know that'd be something? I don't even, he didn't even say the gates were open and I was able to look in. He said the heavens were open. He got a glimpse of the glory world. Now we might not get it here, but I'll tell you what, not very long after that trumpet sounds, we're going to see it. The heavens were opened, the Bible says, to Ezekiel in the 10th chapter of Acts. We're told how that God prepared Peter for the ministry unto the Gentiles. And you know the story, maybe. He was yonder in Joppa and the Simon the Tanner's house. And while he was there waiting for the lunch meal to be prepared so that they would eat, the Bible said Peter went up on the housetop to pray. And while he was praying, the Bible said the Spirit of God came upon him and he was slain in the Spirit. A lot of people said, Brother Jones, I've never seen that. God still does it. He's still God. The power of God is still real. He was slain in the Spirit, and God was preparing him, getting him ready for the ministry to the Gentiles. And when God had Cornelius to send some servants down and talk to him, I really believe that Peter did not understand it all. He really wasn't comfortable with going to the Gentiles to preach, but God had to prepare him. First of all, Peter repented because of his denial of the Lord, and God forgave him. He repented with God with sorrow. Afterwards, while they gathered together in Jerusalem, after Jesus ascended to heaven, I believe while they gathered there praying and seeing God, I believe God sanctified him. They were all in one place and one accord. Brother, that's holiness. And God filled him on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Ghost. And then God anointed him to preach the first Pentecostal sermon. The Bible said some 3,000 Jews got saved. I know it doesn't mention Jews specifically, but it was the Jews that were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And 3,000 got saved. And here we have Peter now at Simon the Tanner's house. Years have passed. He's been ministering to the Jews, and God is wanting him to minister to the Gentiles. And although he was not completely free about all of this, he was willing to obey God and go to Cornelius' house. And when he got there, how God had prepared him, and he preached to the Gentiles. Let me leave this with you tonight. Thank God for Peter obeying God. God had to prepare him. God had to prepare him to go to the Gentiles. God is preparing us. Do you believe it? God is preparing us. As long as the Lord tarries, he's preparing us for some work. All of us. And so he prepared Peter, and this is what I want to share with you from that story, from the story in the 10th chapter of Acts. When Peter was there at the house of Simon the Tanner, the Bible says in the 11th verse, while he was slain in the Spirit, and we're told he saw the heavens open, just as Ezekiel had seen in the Old Testament time. And when Peter saw the heavens opened in the 11th verse of the 10th chapter of Acts, it revolutionized his thinking, it revolutionized his theology, it changed his thinking about concerning the Gentiles. He was now ready not only to preach to the Jews, but preach to the Gentiles as well. Amen. Why? Because God opened the heavens to prepare him. I read in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we have the Apostle John out there on the Isle of Patmos, and he received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the end time, I'm going to run through some names. In the 4th chapter, he saw the rapture, and when he heard the words come up hither. In the 5th chapter, he saw the seal, 7-seal book. In the 6th chapter, he saw the 4 horsemen. In the 7th chapter, the 144,000 Jews sealed in their foreheads to preach the everlasting gospel. In chapters 8 and 9, the 7 trumpets sounded. In chapter 11, the 2 witnesses of the Old Testament come back to this earth. In chapter 12, the Jews flee to a place prepared for them by the Almighty God. And in the 13th chapter, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the mark of the beast, what he said. In the 19th chapter, when you skip over to the 19th chapter, John said, I saw heaven open. Hallelujah. I saw Jesus on a white horse riding out of heaven, and on his thigh was a name, a title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brother, I'm serving that same King of Kings and Lord of Lords tonight. Amen. Amen, amen. When did it happen? When the heavens opened. When he had the heavens were opened. Unto John in the 19th chapter of Revelation, even as it had with Peter in the 10th chapter of Acts. I saw heaven open. For years we have sung the song. Oh, our Lord is coming back to us again.
I have heard it all of my life. The first church that I ever remember attending in Newport News as a boy, a real young boy, and we were singing, "Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again." And some people have made fun and mocked since he hasn't come yet, but I want to say it tonight. Our Lord is coming back again. It's true. He's coming. And when I read the rest of that chapter, I found that when heavens were open and John saw him coming out of heaven, I see myself in there as well. I'm coming with him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw heaven open. Second thing I want to mention from the first chapter of Ezekiel, the first verse. Not only did Ezekiel see the heavens open, the Bible said he saw visions of God. It's sad, but it seems as if some people never really see anything that is exciting or wonderful or thrilling. They go through life sort of humdrum. I believe you can have an exciting life every day of the week. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. God is no different on Monday than is on Sunday. This is a good life. I was doing some figuring. I love math. Far as I went, I was doing some figuring coming to church tonight. How many times I drive to church a week? Most weeks it is at least 10 times, 10 trips. Twice on Wednesday, twice on Saturday, twice on Sunday, once every other day. 10 times a week. I figure that up. I'm pretty good at math. 52 weeks times 10, add a zero, 520. All of these years, I didn't stop to figure that. Been a lot of trips to come out to the house of God. I want to leave something with you tonight. I've never one time dreaded making that trip. I love to come to the house of God. Not only when we're having service, but I just like to come here and pray. I like to come out here and study. I just love God. And what the Bible says to Ezekiel, he said he saw visions of God when some people never seem to see anything that's happening. Never see anything that's taking place. God is working all around, blessing our lives. I was talking to Stephen today. This is not to bless the church or lift the church up or me or anyone else. But Stephen and Clara was cleaning out some things and getting the home prepared for whatever they're going to do with it since Brother Bill has passed away. And he said as he's going through the desk, he found a welcome brochure, what we have back there. And he said, I picked it up and I, there was a bulletin. He said it was in the year 2007. I didn't remember when it came first. And he said to me today, he said, my dad loved this church. And tears came in Stephen's eyes. And I said, Stephen, did you ever get one of those welcome brochures? He said, no. I said, I'm going to give you one right now. Because when he was doing, going through his dad's stuff, he turned up in that brochure and he saw what we believed. And he saw the ministries that we support and the missions. And Steve was, he was glad to read that. And his daddy loved that. His dad was faithful every time he could be here. And I thought, God, that was something we overlooked. God's doing things when we don't even know it. He's good to us. And he loves us. And the Bible says that Ezekiel saw the heavens open and then he saw visions of God. Ezekiel tells us he saw the visions of the Almighty God. It was like Isaiah in the 6th chapter of his book. The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I saw those cherubims and they had 6 wings apiece. And they began to cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let me say this tonight. The angels can cry, holy. I want us to cry holy. Amen. He's a holy God. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah. I know that some people disagree maybe, but it's believed that King Uzziah was a relative of Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah had access to the very courtrooms of the palace. And in the year that Uzziah died, he had a vision of the Lord. He saw visions of Almighty God. And when they saw the vision of God and the angels crying, holy, 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 and the glory of God filling the sanctuary, the Bible said that Isaiah got a glimpse of himself.
Yes.
And he said, woe is me. Or I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. And I'm looking at our church tonight. We haven't arrived yet, folks. We haven't arrived yet. But I believe when you have a vision of Almighty God, it causes you to realize, I can heal those folks. I want to be a little bit more like the Lord, don't you? I want to be a little bit more like Him every day. Hallelujah. I believe we have not arrived yet. And until you arrive, there's a place close to the Lord that we can follow Him and obey Him and stay with Him and be blessed of God. Until the night that He saw the heavens open, and then he saw visions of God. God, open our eyes that we might see. Do you know what Isaiah said? Down towards the end of that story. When God said, who go for us? That's the Godhead.
Yes.
Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Who go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Lord, send me. I want God to send every one of us. Every one of us. To share this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The heavens were open. And he saw visions of the Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah's death could have caused Isaiah to be devastated. He could have come despondent. He had come so saddened that everything was just not going right. But the Bible said he saw the Lord and it changed his life completely. Hallelujah, caused him to come to grips with himself. Had a time of soul searching. And I thought many in the church world tonight would do well if we'd all do the same thing. Get our eyes off of ourselves. Get our eyes off of everyone else. Get our eyes off of what they're doing and what they're saying and how they're living. Sure, we want them to serve God. But get our eyes off all that. Get our eyes on Jesus. Look on this wonderful things and the things of this world will grow strange in him in the light of his glory and grace. Look unto Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. Ezekiel, the Bible said, saw the heavens open and then he saw visions of God. Hallelujah.
I read on in the first chapter of Ezekiel and I found in the third verse, and I'm going to read it. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Shebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him in the first part of the third verse. He has already seen the heavens open. He's already seen visions of God. And in the third verse he said, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. That's the third thought tonight. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Not only did he see the Lord, not only did he hear the Lord, but he heard God speaking to him. And out of heaven it reminds me of when the disciples were on the Mount of Transfiguration in the 17th chapter of Matthew. Peter, James, and John on the mountain. And the Bible said, while they were there, and they were enjoying one another, and the Bible said, Moses was there, and how that Elijah was there. How that they were together, a young old man with Peter, James, John, and Jesus, and suddenly the crowd on the side of the earth, and they heard a voice out of heaven saying, and this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Listen closely, it's good to have the heavens open and have visions of God, but it's good to hear him speak.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard the voice of Almighty God? Maybe in your ear, maybe in your spirit, but you knew it was God.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
It's wonderful, folks.
Yes.
When God speaks,
yes.
Thank God, He has seen visions of heaven. Heaven's open! Visions of God! And now God begins to speak. Thank God when He begins to speak. Let me read something. I'm hurrying along. And I say, this is important in my mind. This is important. It is not so much important as to the doctrines or the creed or the tenets or the prophecies or the theology of man.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is what thus saith the Lord.
Right. Right.
And I leave this with everyone tonight before I come to the fourth point. When God says a thing,
mm-hmm.
you can take it to the bank.
Right.
When God speaks, it's real.
Right.
It is real.
Yes.
Every time God speaks, I want you to know it's for you. The spotlight when God speaks, the spotlight will never be on a man. It'll always be on the Lord. Every time. And here is Ezekiel, and he's by the river Chebar, and he's in captivity. He doesn't understand the language of the Babylonians, and they are idol worshippers. And he's away from home and away from worship in the temple or in the house of God back in Israel, back in Judea. And all of this is going on, and yet in such a time as this, he has visions of heaven. The heavens will open. He has visions of God, and he hears God speaking to him. I believe God can speak to us tonight.
Right.
Now go one step further. He desires to. He desires to speak to us. And every time God speaks, it will always line up with the Word. Always. Every time God speaks, it will line up with the Word. The Bible lets me to know that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word, said God, shall never pass away. Always remember that. Whatever, how long the Lord tarries, and I don't know how long that might be. I prayed and wanted God to rapture the church out while I was still alive, but if he does not, I'm going to be in the rapture. Hallelujah. Whatever takes place, this is important enough. Listen to what God says. He will always lead you in the right path. He'll never lead you astray. And every time God speaks, it will always line up with the Word. I've heard people get prophecy. They even gave one in my home. 9 years ago, that was not of God. But when God speaks, brother, you can mark it down. Serve him with all of your heart. The Bible says he saw the heavens open. He saw visions of God. He heard the voice of God in the last part of the third verse. He felt the touch of God. I don't know exactly how it says it. Let me read it. In the last part of the third verse, the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The hand of the Lord was there upon him in captivity, away from home. Family and friends no longer with him. It was a lonely time, no doubt. Separated from his family, his loved ones. And yet, that was no longer important in his life. I've seen heaven. I've heard the voice of the Almighty. And now I felt the touch of the hand of God. He's seen all of this and heard all of this. Now he feels the touch of the Lord. And I'm going to close tonight and we're going to pray. And I hope that this will stay with all of us. You can search the world over, but nothing will ever compare with experience that Ezekiel had. Nothing. Look for him, joy and happiness and fulfillment, satisfaction around the world. But nothing can compare with the experience that he had. And I'll leave this with you, and we're going to sing tonight, He Touched Me. And then we're going to come and make a circle, and we're going to pray. We're believing God tonight. Please understand, the Bible says Ezekiel saw heavens opened. He had a vision of the Almighty God. He heard the voice of God, and he felt the touch of God. And the good news tonight is, the same God that Ezekiel served, we're serving. He hasn't changed one iota. He's still God. He loves this church more than you and I will ever know. Jesus died for the church. And he's preparing it for eternity. And I thank God for the vision that Ezekiel had, and my prayer tonight is that same God is ours. We're serving him, and may God open our eyes that we might see. My wife is coming to the piano. We're going to sing a chorus. We're going to make a circle. We're going to sing He Touched Me. We're going to make a circle around the altar and up on the platform tonight for the prayer.